List for Children's Church. Well, let's pray as we start. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of your word that we can look at, we can study it, we can try to figure out what it says, and then we can apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to focus on these things today and to reap from these words things for our lives. And we pray for our kids, too, that are at Momentum traveling right now, that you protect them and bring them home safe so that we can worship you again with them soon. Lord, thank you for this opportunity again. We look forward to hearing your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy, and we'll be in chapter 2. It's on page 995 in the Pew Bible. 995. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. It says, "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity." That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. You know, the Apostle Paul was a very practical man. And today's passage contains some very practical things for living the Christian life. And especially, these words should apply to us when we're teaching the Word of God to someone else. Maybe if you're teaching at Vacation Bible School, or you're teaching in Sunday school class, or you're leading a Bible study in your home, these things apply especially to those times. And you can divide chapter 2 into four different strong commands that are there. First of all, the first command is be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And second command, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And the passage that we read today contains the third command: keep reminding them of these things. How do you remind yourself about things that you want to remember? I use a variety of ways. Of course, I have a cell phone, and I put things on my calendar in my cell phone, but I still make little lists of things that I have to get done during the day, and when I get those things done, I cross them off, so I feel like I accomplished something at the end of the day. Other times, you just run into people who remind you of things, and the memories come back to your mind. This week I ran into one of my friends at Bob Evans, and I remember a story that he told me, and I grew up with this kid. We used to bale hay together, and he was in the farm and fleet with Jim Jones one day, and he picked up this. It's a cow prod, and oh, it had batteries attached to it. And he had never seen one before. And Jim was there, and Jim turned his back on Tim, and so Tim goes like this and hits him with his cow prod. Of course, Jim, you know, jumps back and almost and knocks over one of these displays in the farm and fleet. And then Jim says, "Give me that thing." And so he gets it from Tim, and he starts chasing him around the store, you know, giving him these shots. And every time they'd see the clerk, you know, they would stop and act like, you know, they weren't doing anything. Then he'd go after him again. And eventually he got kicked out of the store because they wouldn't stop. But he reminds me of that. Every time I see this guy, this comes back to my mind, getting thrown out of Farm and Fleet because of their shocking behavior. Well, keep reminding them of these things. You can use a lot of ways to remind people of the Word of God. Paul, in this passage in chapter 2, uses five different word pictures for a man of God so they might understand what it means to follow Jesus. A person who is a man of God is a child of God. He is a teacher. He's a good soldier. He's an athlete who follows the rules, and he's a hardworking farmer. Today we'll look at another word picture that's contained in verses 14 through 19, and it is a workman. So as we look through verses 14 through 19, we're going to see three pictures of how to present God's word. Three pictures of how to present God's word. First one I find in verse 14, and I've entitled it, "Keep Plowing." Keep plowing. It says, "Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen." Keep reminding them of these things. And so it kind of tells us in that verb what to do. And it's continual tense in this command. So there he is, this pastor, or this leader, this Bible teacher is to continue to tell people things that they already know. It's to be his regular practice, to be very persistent and diligent in teaching the Word of God. It's not important that a person is always unique or mind-blowing when you're teaching the Bible, but the more important thing is that you're faithful and you're consistent to what is written for us. And he says these things, remind them of these things, and I think that refers back to all of chapter 2, but especially verses 11 through 13. Here's a trustworthy saying, "If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny or disown himself." So those are things to do. And then the second part of verse 14 talks about a warning of things that they're not to do. It says, "Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value. It only ruins those who listen." So keep on, again, present tense, keep on warning them about quarreling over words, which was a tendency in the early church in the first century. Don't quibble over nuances. And that was kind of like what the people did in Ephesus and also in Athens. You see that in Acts chapter 17. People just would sit around all day and look for what's new this day or that day and talk about those things. And that's not to be our focus. And verse 14 gives us two reasons not to quarrel. First of all, it is of no value. The benefit is zero. It's a waste of time. And the second reason is because it ruins those who listen. And if you have a King James, I think it says subverts them or overturns them. And here the idea is the idea of a plow turning over soil. So that's the idea. It just turns things over. It rips people up because they're quarreling. They're thinking about this stuff that's not really important. You know, we're supposed to keep plowing as we share the Word of God. Keep reminding people of the things that are in the Scriptures. You know, last week we had the privilege of having our grandkids stay with us. And they were with us for 9 days. And the first day they came, I heard a story about a policeman who had to do CPR on a baby. And he did it unsuccessfully. You know, something stuck in my mind. You know, we're going to be around water a lot. We're going to be distracted because we're with family. And I'm going to stick right beside my grandsons, especially the four-year-old, anytime we're around water. Well, Noah noticed that. He said, "Dad, Grandpa, you were always around him." Well, we went to the Kanziks, and we caught a lot of fish there. We caught 77 fish, 67 bluegills, and the rest were bass. And I always let James reel them in. And after 60 fish or so, he said, "Grandpa, I'm getting really tired. What we need to do is go swimming." And the Kanziks have a really nice pool. So I said to Noah, "Does James know how to swim?" "Oh, yes, Grandpa, we all know how to swim." And so we went up to the pool, and before James jumped in, I said, "James, you know how to swim?" "Oh, yes, Grandpa, we go to Florida all the time. I know how to swim." So he jumps in. And, you know, he went under. He swam like a rock right to the bottom of that pool. And all I could do was get my wallet out and kick off my shoes before I had to jump in and pull him out because he panicked. And maybe he knew how to swim, but he panicked. And he was saved that day because the Word of God and people, maybe God, put something in my mind that told me, be persistent in this. Stay right beside this boy. And that's the way it should be when we're teaching the Word of God, too. We should be persistent in it. Keep alongside of it. Keep plowing with what God, the truth that God gives us in the Bible. The second point that I find in this passage is plow straight. According to verse 15, maybe you'll notice there's some agricultural terms today in this message, but really in the Greek language, that's the way it is. So we try to reflect that. Plow straight. It says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." Now, verse 15 is one of the key verses in the Bible that teaches us how to teach, or tells us how to teach God's Word. First thing, just generally, is how much effort should I put into teaching people God's Word? Where it says there, do your best. Be diligent again. Give everything you got to teaching people what God says in the Bible. We should be trying to present it as clearly and as completely as possible so that people can get it and understand it and put it in their heart and be able to apply it to their lives. We should go all out in doing three things that this verse talks about. First of all, it says, present yourself to God as one approved. And the idea there is to stand alongside of or before God for inspection and to wait for His approval of how we've done our work. Being tested and God acceptable. It's kind of like, you know, they melt metal and they test it to make sure that it's, you know, 100% right. It's true. And that's the picture that's there. Present yourself to God as one approved, one that's been tested and stands It stands okay. It stands affirmed. Secondly, be a workman who does not need to be ashamed. You know, a workman does what? He digs out the treasures from God's word in order to build, measure, and repair God's people. It's all there. The answers for life are right in this book. Everything we need is right here. And a workman's job is to dig those things out, to spend the time digging those things out so that he can teach the people about those things. So we have to do this in a fashion that is acceptable. We need to do it in a fashion where we're not ashamed of our work. In the Greek culture, there were actually fines for people who did shoddy work. You know, if you were a contractor, you know, and you were hired by somebody to come over and build a house and you didn't build it right, the government will come in and fine you for your bad work. So we need to go all out in presenting ourselves to God as one approved. Go all out in being a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed of the work that we do. And thirdly, be a workman who correctly handles the word of truth. And could just translate that, cut it straight. Cut it straight. And it's kind of a strange word there, that word straight. It's used in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Anybody know that verse? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's how the Septuagint translates that same word as being straight. It's kind of like if you've ever plowed, the idea there is like plowing a straight furrow in a field. Or if you're a carpenter, it's like cutting a straight board, cutting the board straight. This one isn't very straight, but that's the idea. Or if you're a seamstress, the idea is like sewing a seam that's straight. It didn't hit me, but I might trip over it. You know, to be a workman who correctly handles the word of truth. We're to be teaching the word faithfully and practically living it out so that people can see that, hey, this is what it's like. This is real. This guy is real. Not just what he says, but the way he acts. And we should beware of nutritionists who are overweight. We should beware of attorneys serving prison sentences. We should beware of physicians who chain smoke. We should beware of bankrupt financial advisors. And we should be aware of preachers who don't practice what they preach. You know, verse 15 teaches, plow straight, cut it straight, handle the word of God correctly with people. So keep plowing, verse 14. Plow straight, verse 15. And then the remaining parts of the passage, verses 16 through 19, talk about not getting plowed under. Don't get plowed under. It says there, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." So the main command there in verses 16 through 19 is avoid godless chatter. Avoid worldly and empty talk. And then it gives us four consequences of what will happen to people if they fill their lives with that kind of stuff. First of all, according to verse 16b, people who do that, indulge in it, will become more and more ungodly. And, you know, in dealing with people in the Czech Republic, it was like, you know, these people would think about stuff that the Word of God just clearly answers. And because they rejected the Word of God, they were always doing like these mental somersaults, you know, with stuff that really didn't make any sense at all. And so they were ruining their capacity to think correctly because of godless chatter. Literally, it means hammer forward towards ungodliness. To hammer, use a hammer, and hammer your way towards ungodliness. So it's purposeful when people do that. Secondly, according to verse 17a, it eats away at the souls of men like gangrene. It says their teaching will spread like gangrene. Gangrene is not a nice thing that happens to people. My great-grandfather's first wife was bit by a copperhead snake down by the Mohicanville Dam before the turn of the century. And it wasn't the snake bite that killed her, but it was the venom. It was the infection that she got afterwards. And so she slowly died. She was like a living skeleton when she finally passed away. Our souls become like men who are influenced by gangrene. Our souls need what? They need healthy things. They need like milk of the Word of God. They need meat in order to survive. You know, Christians should be all about the Word of God and all about staying away from godless chatter. Thirdly, it allows godless men to thrive. And there he lists two of them, Hymenaeus and Philetus, two of these guys. And it says what they did because of godless chatter. They wandered away from the faith. It's kind of like if you ever raise sheep, you know, if you're not watching them all the time, they just kind of gradually wander away from where you want them to be, where it's healthy. They wander away, and that's what these guys had done. They denied also the basic doctrines like the resurrection, saying the resurrection had already taken place. And they destroy the faith of others. It's not only about them, it's also destroying the faith of other people who are listening to them and following their lives. And the fourth consequence is it reveals to us who really belongs to God. And that's a sad thing, because you see people who you think belong to Jesus. You think they're part of the heaven, and then it becomes clear to us that these people don't believe at all. It says, verse 19, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are His,' and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." You know, verse 19, the Apostle Paul is quoting Numbers 16, in the first part of that verse. And the second part refers to a variety of verses that come together. And I read Numbers 16 several times this week. You know, that passage in Numbers 16 speaks about Korah's rebellion. And that in that rebellion, there were 253 respected Israelite leaders who rose up against Moses and Aaron. And they claimed, you know, Moses, you know, there's just some kind of conspiracy going on here. There's something going on behind the scenes. You know, Moses, you're not the man of God that you should be. There should, you know, we should be in charge. We should be doing the same stuff as you and Aaron are doing. You know, Moses, you took us out of Egypt. You took us away from all that good stuff we had, and now you're even lording over us. You're telling us what to do. And Moses, we don't feel that that's right. They allowed godless chatter to consume their thinking rather than trusting in God and trusting that God gave them the man that they needed to have in order to lead them to the promised land. And the results were horrible. It says the earth opened up and swallowed them whole. Not only them, but also their wives, their children, and everything else that they owned. Those three guys, that's what happened. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them alive. And then the other 250 brought their censers and stood before God, and God decided that he wanted Moses and Aaron to lead them, and the other 250 were burned up. You think about them. You think about what I said. These guys were plowed under. It was even worse than that. So we shouldn't allow that to happen to us. We shouldn't allow godless chatter, thinking about conspiracies, thinking about things that are going on behind the scenes, to really dominate our thinking. But our thinking should be based upon trusting the Word of God, trusting the people that God has put over us to lead us, to teach us. How to stand before God and present His Word? I found three things in this passage. Keep plowing. It's about being diligent. It's about doing, being consistent, consistently teaching the Word of God, not to entertain necessarily people. Keep plowing. If you ever plowed, you know, especially some of the big fields you got around here, it takes a long time, doesn't it? It seems like you're not getting anywhere. But when it's all done, when it's all over and done, you look back and say, hey, now we can get the disc. After that, we could start putting some corn in the ground here. But it was all necessary to do. So keep plowing. Secondly, plow straight. I know you get more in a crooked row than in a straight row. But plow straight. You know, be like a carpenter who cuts the board straight, or a seamstress who sews straight. And thirdly, don't get plowed under. Don't get wiped out by sin. Don't allow those things, those thoughts, to come into your mind and you know, infect you with stuff that will destroy your mind like gangrene. We're going to close today with a couple questions. First one is, how's your plowing going? Each one of you, I know many of you here teach the Word of God to people. How's the plowing going? Secondly, what are you using to remind yourself about the Word of God? You know, maybe you'll use your phone. That's okay. Maybe it'll be making lists. Maybe it'll be having your wife ask you questions, or a friend asking you questions about whether or not you've spent time in the Word of God. So how are you reminding yourself to be in the Word, to stick with it, to love the Word, to put it in your heart? And the third question is, if you were to stand before God today, would He find your work to be approved? Or would he find your work something that you need to be ashamed about? And we can change that. You know, this passage tells us how to do that. Keep plowing. Plow straight. Don't get plowed under. If you're here today and you never have made a decision for Christ, don't leave here without talking to somebody about that. You know, Paul is talking here about teaching the Word of God, and that's what we should be all about as Christians. Loving the Word of God, reading the Word of God, sharing the Word of God with others. And it'll mean a lot more to you if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, because you'll begin to understand it. It'll fill your mind and your heart like never before, like nothing else can do, because the Holy Spirit will empower that word to give you exactly what you need for life. Jesus came to give us life. Yeah, eternal life, but also life and hope for every situation we face here. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this passage that talks about the importance of teaching people and teaching them correctly and protecting our minds from stuff that is damaging to us and to other people. Lord, help us to be carefully trusting you, carefully following you, carefully putting things into our lives that are necessary so we can follow you with great abundance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.